and Emotive Peace, and for ministering to us in song this morning. We greatly appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing from you, God willing, again this evening. Let us just pray. Our Father, we thank you that you want to lead us to safe places. And Lord, we thank you that ultimate place of safety is found in our relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." And Lord, we thank you for the safety and the security that we can have through trusting in Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, for the hope of eternal life. And even when life looks bleak and dark and the days ahead look difficult, that you will lead us, that you will guide us, that your word tells us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, may today, Father, even be that day when we come to rest in the safety and the security of Jesus as Lord and Savior, to give our life to him in full and complete trust. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. One afternoon, a lady was enjoying some shopping in one of the local shopping centres. She must have been from Ballymena because she bought a packet of small shortbread biscuits for £1, the kind you would find in Tesco's or Sainsbury's, and she took them with her to the nearest coffee shop. I can say that because I'm from Ballymena, and boy, they're tight. She then got in line for coffee. She found a place to sit at one of the crowded tables, and then taking off the lid of her coffee and taking out a magazine, she began to sip her coffee and to read. Across the table from her, a man sat reading a newspaper. And after a minute or two, she reached out and she took one of the small shortbread biscuits. And as she did, the man seated across the table, well, he also reached out and took a biscuit. Now, this annoyed her a bit, as it would do, but she decided not to say anything. After having a couple of sips of coffee, she once again took another biscuit, as did the man. And by now, she was getting quite upset because there was only one biscuit left. And apparently, the man also realized that there was only one biscuit left. Before she could say anything, he took it, broke it in half, offered half to her, and proceeded to eat the other half himself. And then he smiled at her, and putting the paper under his arm, he rose and he walked off. And by this stage, the lady was raging. She picked up her things and she stormed off, already beginning to think of how she would explain this incident to her family when she got home. And as she folded her magazine and placed it into her bag, there before her was her own unopened bag of shortbread biscuits. Now, I like that story. I like it because it makes me think about how God treats us, even when we don't consider how we treat him, or indeed how we treat others. I like it because it reminds me that I don't always appreciate what I have and can act as though I deserve certain things. It reminds me of how good God is to us, and how slow we are to thank him. And as today is our Harvest Thanksgiving service, it is an opportunity for all of us to stop and to acknowledge God's great goodness towards us. It is a time to ponder the truth that without God, we would have nothing. Nothing. And as an act of worship, to express our thankfulness to him. But I would like to suggest and make the suggestion that should be our attitude every single day of our lives. And what I'd like us to think about this morning is, how do we develop an attitude of gratitude in our lives, an attitude of gratitude. How can we become people who are eternally grateful for all that God has done and continues to do in our lives, instead of complaining about what we don't have and always looking for more? And as we look around us, and see the produce and the flowers, as we acknowledge the goodness of God in providing us with these things, in many ways, it doesn't have the impact upon us that it really should. For most of us, we have reasonably well-paid jobs. We have food in our fridge, oftentimes too much, and we have to throw it out. We have a roof over our heads. We can walk into a supermarket, and 9 times out of 10, we can buy any particular fruit or vegetable from any part of the world, regardless of whether it is in season or not. And it is because of that that we are more inclined to have an attitude of greed rather than one of gratitude. So how can we cultivate an attitude of gratitude? Well, according to the New York Times bestselling author Lewis Howes, an attitude of gratitude means making it a habit to express thankfulness and appreciation in all parts of your life on a regular basis for both big and small things alike. Now, that sounds fair enough. And I think most of us could probably quite easily do that. And he goes on to give various tactics as to how to go about this. But it's at this point that the skeptic comes out in me. To develop this attitude of gratitude, he says, firstly, wake up every day and express to yourself what you are grateful for. Tell whoever you are with at the end of the day the 3 things that you are most grateful for. Secondly, tell whoever you are with right now, whether that's a significant other, friend, family member, tell them the 3 things that you are most grateful about them in this moment. Now, honestly, if I did that with Terry, she'd be probably wondering what was wrong with me or what it was I was wanting to buy or had already bought. He goes on to say, start a gratitude journal. Express gratitude in this journal every night by noting the things that you are grateful for, things you are proud of and excited about. So, okay, it's perhaps not a one-size-fits-all means of being more grateful. But what is perhaps more significant about all of this is the outcome of developing an attitude of gratitude. Apparently, focusing on what we are grateful for can help to wash away feelings of anger and negativity. And in addition to improving mood, our mood, recent studies show that feeling and expressing gratitude leads to better physical health as well. Dr. Paul Mills, a professor of family medicine and public health at the University of California School of Medicine, he conducted studies that looked at the role of gratitude on heart health. And among other things, he found that participants who kept a journal most days of the week, writing about 2 to 3 things they were grateful for, everything from appreciating their children to travel and to good food, he noticed that they had reduced levels of inflammation and improved heart rhythm compared to people who did not write in a journal. And the journal keepers also showed a decreased risk of heart disease after only 2 months of this new routine. So there we have it. But I don't know about you, but I can very quickly dwell upon the negative things in life. We can allow the negative things, stressful situations, problems at work, problems at home, the things that we want but we don't have, we can allow these things to override any joy that we should be experiencing in life. And because of that, we find it very difficult to be grateful for what we do have. And our Old Testament reading this morning, which was taken from Deuteronomy, describes how the Israelites, after being freed from slavery but yet to inherit the promised land, they are to bring to God as an act of grateful worship, the first of all the fruit of the ground. We read of how they are to put it into baskets, and they are to present it to the priest before the altar as an act of offering unto God. And it would have been done out of an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude, firstly, for being freed from slavery and for God's provision in their lives. And the sad truth is that we today, living in Ballarashian and Coleraine or Ballymoney, have become so removed from what it means to depend fully on God for everything that we so easily take for granted God's provision in our lives. You know, we rarely think about how the food we eat comes to our table or even the people involved across the world who have made that possible. And then after we enjoy our dinner, we sit down to watch the news and once again we are confronted with images of refugees fleeing their homes, of aid convoys being blown to pieces and innocent lives taken in the process, of men and women and children being crammed into trains or walking along motorways or perishing at sea. And then we complain. We complain when we have to stand for too long in the queue at Tesco's or Asda. And even as we consider world events, terrorism, human trafficking, war crimes, earthquakes, hurricanes, mass murder, disease, we can very quickly begin to question the providence of God and, in fact, the sovereignty of God. So instead, what we do is we in the West, we surround ourselves with material things. We surround ourselves with material things in a bid to reassure ourselves that we're going to be okay. And if all else fails, then we'll be okay because we have so much stuff. And therefore, our utter dependence upon God is no longer a factor in our lives. And these things are all quite simply the symptoms of sin. Satan and sin are what tempt us and draw us away from obedience to God. It's what happened in Eden. And it's what Satan attempted upon the second Adam, Jesus Christ. But this time, Satan would not succeed. And this takes us to Matthew's Gospel. And that point where Jesus has been led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and nights. And at the end of chapter 3 of Matthew's Gospel, we read of how Jesus has been baptized by John. And Jesus' baptism marks the beginning of his active earthly ministry. And yet some would ask, well, if it's the beginning of his earthly ministry, why did he retreat from public? Why did he retreat from public to spend time alone fasting in the desert? But we come to see that Jesus is not simply retreating or putting off that God-given role that God has given to him. He is, in fact, as he goes into the wilderness to fast, he is advancing the kingdom of God. He is, in a sense, commencing the battle between two figures who compete and who lay claim to the hearts and souls of men and women. Christ and Satan. And just as Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness, which is parallels with Israel's 40 years of desert wandering, where Israel failed to live as God commanded them, Christ will succeed. And he will obey the call of his Father. And not only was Christ obedient, but he was victorious. His death and resurrection are the greatest victory of God. They are the greatest victory of God on behalf of men and women and children. And one thing that still and probably never will make any sense to me is why people still refuse to accept Christ. It is why they fail to see their need of salvation. Of course, and Scripture tells us, they have been blinded by sin. And they cannot accept the things of God. But what about you this morning? Have your eyes, first of all, been open to the truth of God's word and the gospel, but you still refuse? You still refuse to accept their claims upon your life? Have you been coming to church for years out of duty or tradition, but your heart is cold to the things of God? Do you have an attitude of gratitude for what Christ, what he had to endure so that you, I, so that we could be free from our sins and the consequences if we choose to continue in them? Well, if that is you, then God is seeking your attention this morning. And he is seeking your attention through both his Spirit and his Word. It is the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. And it is the Word of God that shows us what needs to be done to deal with that sin. And back in Deuteronomy, Moses was reminding the people of Israel that God was leading them and also testing them to see if they would depend fully upon him and his word. And one of those tests was through hunger and the provision of manna. And God was testing his people, and he is teaching us and testing us today. And those words recorded in Deuteronomy, which Christ quotes to Satan, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. And likewise, everything that we have been given, everything that we have, has been given to us by God. Everything. Our life, the very air that we breathe, everything. And yet we complain, we grumble, just as the Israelites did. We want more. We're never fully satisfied. You see, it's so much about our attitude, about moving from an attitude of greed to an attitude of gratitude. Take a minute. Take a minute and think right now of the things in your life that you should be grateful for. What are they? Who are they? The places that you enjoy, the experiences that you enjoy. All of these things are gifts which have been given to us by God the Father. And ultimately, all of these things lead back to that greatest gift of all, that greatest gift given to mankind, the giving of God's one and only Son. And the most significant question that you, that I, that we must ask ourselves today is, do you have an attitude of gratitude towards Jesus? Gratitude for bearing your sin. Gratitude for taking the punishment that should have been yours. Gratitude for the eternal life that he has granted to us through his resurrection and subsequently our faith and trust in him. Sadly, many people choose and continue to choose to live on bread alone. Bread. Bread which merely sustains our physical bodies but does nothing for our souls. And today, we need to hear the word of God. That word which says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That word that says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Repent. And that is a command. That is not a request. It is a command. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Or if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let me read that again. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Or what about, so do not fear? Is that the word that you need to hear this morning? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Let us have an attitude of gratitude. Let us be grateful and rejoice in all things. But most importantly of all, let us rejoice in Christ. Are you rejoicing in Christ today? Are you rejoicing in him? Well, here's the amazing thing. If you are not rejoicing in Christ, you must know that the Lord rejoices over you. He rejoices over you. He longs for you to receive life and healing and wisdom and truth through his word. And his word to us says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I speak to people and they tell me that they believe they aren't worthy to come to Christ. There's nothing good in them. That is exactly the means and the way in which we come to Christ. And his word tells us that when we rejoice and when we declare with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And on that day and in that moment, there is great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents and comes to Christ. What word do you need to hear today? And I pray if the word has become cold and you've hardened your heart to it, that God will open that word to you today and you would respond and you would receive the truth of it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for going to the cross. We thank you, Lord, for dying upon the cross, for allowing the nails to be driven through your hands and your feet, when at any moment you could have come down from that cross. We thank you for those that you allow to jeer and to mock, to spit on you, to pull out your beard, to put a crown of thorns into your head. We thank you, Lord, because you did that for us, for all of us. But ultimately, you did that for the Father, because it was his joy, it was his plan, and you were obedient to that plan. Lord, forgive us for taking so many things for granted, simple things, but Lord, most significantly, for taking the life and death of Christ for granted, for taking granted that joy of becoming a child of the living Lord. And Father, may your word speak truth into our hearts today, whatever that word may be. Do not fear, for I am with you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lord, may we give thanks. May we rejoice in you, Father, because you rejoice in us. How great thou art. Amen. We stand together to sing in closing our final hymn. O Lord my God, when I an awesome one.